DiscerningHearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. Ordained a priest from the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania, Monsignor Essef has served as a retreat director and confessor to Blessed Mother Teresa. He continues to offer direction and retreats internationally for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Essef encountered St. Padre Pio, who would become a spiritual father to him. He has lived around the globe, including Lebanon, serving the pontifical missions there. It is a Catholic organization established by Blessed John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially to the poor. Monsignor Essef assisted the founders of the Institute for Priestly Formation and continues to serve as a spiritual director for the Institute. He also actively serves as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, sisters, seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. What's on your heart today, Monsignor?
I bring the greatest news. Don't go to your newspaper today to get the news. The church is announcing this magnificent news all over the world. You'll hear it at Mass, those of you who are Catholic. There's going to be peace. God is going to send us peace. And he's going to send it through the King of Peace. This whole program that we have seems like, what is this? Is he a nut? He is madly in love with us. And he is the Son of God. And he's predicted as coming into the world by Zechariah. Long before he came, Zechariah wrote this about the coming of an era of peace. And so we read, "Thus the Lord says, rejoice heartily, O daughter Zion. Shout for joy, O Jerusalem. See, your king shall come to you, a just savior, meek and riding on an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. He shall banish the chariots from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The warrior's bow he shall banish, and he shall proclaim peace to the nations." This is to the whole world. Listen, if you're in Indonesia, if you're in Pakistan, if you're in Ethiopia, if you're in India, China, England, North and South America, listen. This warrior is bringing peace. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. So it's for everyone. And this king, his name is Jesus. And he is the Savior. He is the gentle Savior of the world. Now, in the 11th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, this Redeemer, Savior of the entire world, who is a king, is going to announce who he is and who his Father is. Brothers and sisters throughout the whole world, those of you who are baptized, Jesus today announces who he is and who his Father is. He is the Son of the living God. And everything the Father has, Jesus has. And that's marvelous news, that the one who came into the world to save us. And so listen to what he's telling us in that 11th chapter, and I'll begin with the 25th verse. "At that time, Jesus exclaimed, I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to little ones. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will." Now, who is Jesus? "All things have been handed over to me by my Father." So Jesus is equal to God the Father. The only begotten Son, Jesus, receives everything that the Father has. He is equal to the Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. God the Father knows Jesus, and no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom he wishes to reveal him. To whom has he revealed them? He's revealed them to us. That was what drove St. Paul and the early church. This is so important. When they received the triune God, and that's what Jesus is teaching, within themselves. And so Paul proclaims this in the book of Romans. And in that letter of Romans, especially that 8th chapter, has so many beautiful things in it. But this is what he reveals to us. And this is truth. Brothers and sisters, you are no longer in the flesh. On the contrary, you are in the Spirit, if only the Spirit of God dwells in you. If only the Spirit of God dwells in you. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies. If you are a baptized Christian, the Father lives in you. The Son lives in you. The Spirit of God lives in you. The triune God dwells in you. Who are you as a baptized Christian? You are Jesus in the world. And as Jesus, you too have received everything from the Father. And you have received this life through the Holy Spirit who dwells within you. St. Paul teaches us this. I did not realize who I was, although I was a baptized Christian, and I was baptized in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, at St. Anthony's Church. The day I was born, I was given the name John, and I was baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And the Trinity came to dwell within me. And today, who is this body that I belong to? The Trinity and 1 billion Catholics. That's who there are in the world today. There are about 800 million Orthodox and about 600 million baptized Christians who are Protestant. Who are we? We are Jesus in the world today. And as one Protestant preacher likes to say, we are really the majority of people in the world. But the problem is, and this was the tragedy in my life, no one ever told me that the triune God dwells in me. That as the Father dwells in the Son, and the Son dwells in the Father, so I dwell in the Father. Who is in me? Jesus. Where is the Father in me? Where is the Spirit in me? I've never seen so many people burdened and overwhelmed. Listen to what Jesus says as a follow-up to his teaching. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. That's the first time Jesus uses that word about himself, his heart. Last week we had the teaching on the Sacred Heart. Jesus is where? Where is this Sacred Heart when he invites us to come? Come to me. I am meek and gentle of heart. He is in you. Where do you have to go to meet Jesus? Within yourself. I don't know an age or a time that has been more burdened. You know, of all the prophecies Amos yesterday talked about, there's going to be a new era, an age of peace and an age of love. And the same thing is true to Zechariah today, announcing this news. There will be nations that are going to be brought to peace. And it's all war, violence, killing, nuclear bombs, threats. And what is Jesus saying today? Is this really true? Could it be possible? Absolutely. Why are we so burdened and so laboring? Because we in the Western world and in the world today have believed the lie. And what is the lie? That there's nothing we can't do. Mankind has been told, you can do everything. It's a huge lie. We have believed that I am the one. There's nothing you can't do. We have become self-reliant. We have become self-dependent. Mankind can take care of everything. Look where we have brought ourselves, to the point of utter destruction of ourselves. This is the first time in human history, not that God is going to destroy the world. We are going to destroy ourselves. We have that capacity. The whole world is really afraid that somebody is going to set off a nuclear bomb and there will be retaliation and we will destroy ourselves as a planet. And they even talk about that kind of fallout that will come. We have seen a little taste of it in our world with the atomic bomb and Nagasaki and Hiroshima. And yet they were just little toys in comparison to the potential we have today. And if some rogue gets at the nuclear arson in Pakistan or in any other part of the world, what a tremendous damage could be done to the entire world. Or if North Korea would begin it, or Iran develops a nuclear weapon. And yet we have these rogue nations. And what does God say today to us? I am going to establish an era of peace. And how am I going to do that? Listen again to Jesus. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourself. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus the King, Jesus the Lord, Jesus the Son of God, Jesus the Maker of the entire universe, is in me. I discovered that when I was 21. I remembered when I first learned that. I knew my dad didn't know it, and I so wanted to tell him. He was baptized also, and so was my mother. They were good people, but they came and they were laboring and burdened, and so there's so many things about my family, but they didn't know that, because I knew they didn't know. They never told me that Christ dwelled within them, that he dwelled within our home. You see, if this is a Sunday morning for you, you think the only place you're going to meet Jesus is at Mass? No, you've already met him when you woke up this morning. He's in you. He's in your wife lying next to you. He's in your children when you're having breakfast this morning. He's in your home. He's in you when you go to work. Jesus is there, and all he's asking you to do today is come to him. For the many things that belabor you and burden you in your home, for the many things, and if you're listening to this in England or in wherever you are in the world today, Jesus is in you. If you're a baptized Christian, You are in him, and he is in you. The triune God is as accessible to you as he is within yourself. You are Christ in the world today. What is the power that is in us? As I speak this, I know so many bishops that don't know that. They are burdened in labor. They have been told by the lies of this world that they are the ones that are going to be responsible for their diocese. I know so many priests that don't know it. I'm here at this Institute of Priestly Formation, and there are so many seminarians that come into this place burdened, unaware of their identity. Who am I? The most important mission in the world is not as important as who I am. Long before I am sent to do anything, I must discover who I am. And the relationship is primary to the mission. Jesus saw today and teaches us, no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom he wishes to reveal him. If you have a mission as a husband, as a father to your family, as a worker, as a laborer, and you think that is the most important thing, it isn't. The most important truth about you is who you are. When I told my dad that, and eventually as he grew in that, it was the most magnificent, wonderful growth in our family when my dad became Jesus, first to his wife, and my mother to my father. There's nothing more beautiful, husbands and wives, than you can give your children than to love each other in Christ. Where do we have Christian families? You might be married and you both might be baptized, but are you aware that Christ dwells in each of you and each of you has a power to love one another in him? According to his commandments and his rules, how many more arguments would be settled so far more easily? How you could keep the rules in marriage between yourselves because Jesus is in your married bed with you. He is in you. Your Father is with you, blessing you, loving you, rejoicing you in each other's love. Learn from me, be burdened as married couples with your children. I will take care of them. I am their father. Where do I have to go to find the Father? You don't have to run down to the church all the time. He's in me. And in the day-to-day work, in a family life, that the unit of brothers and sisters loving one another because they see Christ in each other. The family unit, as the heart of Jesus, come to me, I am meek and humble of heart, the Sacred Heart. He wants to become the center of your home as well as your heart. First in your heart, then in your home, then in your parish. First priest in your heart, first bishop in your heart, then in your parish, then in your diocese. And did you hear what he said through the prophet Zechariah? To the very ends of the world, wherever. The magnificent thing about this podcast is it goes to the end of the world. Wherever you may be hearing this, Christians in the Middle East, you are Jesus in the world. Jesus suffering and Jesus dying in Sudan. Jesus rising again because you have in him and in his spirit. Listen once more to the beauty of St. Paul's teaching in Romans. Brothers and sisters, you are not in the flesh. On the contrary, you are in the Spirit, if only the Spirit of God dwells in you. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. You belong to him. The Spirit of God in you has united you with Jesus. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies. The life in you, just the breathing, just the beating of your heart, that life is his. Through his Spirit that dwells within you. Consequently, brothers and sisters, we are not debtors to the flesh. You aren't alive because your mother and father gave you human life. You're alive because of Christ. Christ's life is in you. Christ's Spirit is in you. The Father is in you. The Holy Trinity dwells within you. And you have access to God the Father. For just as Jesus had access to the Father, and all things were given to Jesus by the Father, so it is with you. Whatever you ask the Father, he will give you. In everyday life, what is the greatest and most powerful relationship that you have? Your relationship with the Father. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh and of the body, you will live.
It's so powerful, Monsignor. Even to this day, we still fail, I think, some ways to have this baptismal apologetic. I mean, this ability to be able to communicate this even to those adults that are coming through the RCIA. Because one of the figures that have come out, and it's very, very sad, and I don't mean it to be a discouragement, but it is a fact that those who will come into the church at the Easter Vigil, a third of them, 1 year later, will not be practicing. They won't be participating in the life of the church. And then within 4 years, over half that number.
What I think is, if you're a member of the RCIA team, or if you're a pastor in the parish that is aware of those figures, because they're probably applied to your parish. You're not the one that's teaching them. It's Jesus. Are they encountering Jesus when they encounter you? And have you encountered Jesus as a member of the RCIA team? How can you give what you don't have? And so if you're relying on yourself to teach this person about Jesus, then how can they meet Jesus if they don't meet Jesus through you, with you, and in you? Only Jesus could do that. Only the Spirit could do that. When I become aware of who I am, then I don't do it. In fact, after I become aware of who I am, Mother Teresa, when I used to ask her, Mother, what can I pray for you? She would always practically say the same thing. Pray I don't interfere with what God is doing. Mother Teresa was aware that it was God that was doing it through her. Are you aware, as a member of the RCIA team, that it is God teaching and revealing through you? Do you depend on God to speak through you? Are you aware who it is that you are? Are you speaking your own words, or is there a spirit within you that communicates to that other person? When you have a spirit-filled person, they communicate that because now it is not I, as Paul says, who live, but Christ who lives within me. When you know, so many times when I look at a person, am I aware of seeing Jesus in them, looking at Jesus in them, hearing Jesus in them, and also aware that the look is his. The speech is his. My body is his. I am Christ in the world. Are you aware of who you are? Identity is, that's the awakening. That's the good news that's come into the world. Once there might be, and I don't know, there are 1 billion baptized Catholics in the world. How many know who they are? I know my dad didn't know it, and my mother didn't know it. And I discovered it, and I told them. Or we, Christ in me, and then they were telling each other. And my brothers and my sisters, we were living in him. What a entirely different new life came to the Yesuf household, to be in him and through him and with him and to live that. We don't never live it perfectly. We're always sinners, but that's the truth about our lives. We don't even grasp what the good news is. And when this is grasped, and it will be, and Zechariah predicted it, our Savior is coming. He is going to bring peace to the whole world. He is the King of love, and he is the King. And Zechariah said, there's going to come an era when the warriors will be banished from Zion, from Jerusalem, and from the whole world, and peace will reign sea to sea throughout the whole world. The kingdom of God is coming. Jesus is the King of peace.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Final thought, Monsignor?
Who am I? Who am I? Stay in him and with him. Jesus, the King of peace. God bless.
You've been listening to Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Esef. To hear and or to download this reflection along with many others, go to discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of discerninghearts.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join us next time for Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Esef.